Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to Future CEOs this afternoon. Fluby, welcome to Future CEOs this afternoon.
I was having way too much fun dancing in studio, waiting for our fantastic guests for the day. How are you, Gareth?
I'm okay. It's been a good week. And have you had a good week?
How excited are we about the Cliff Central app?
I don't quite know how to explain it, actually. I mean, it is so simple that it makes everything so simple to listen to Future CEOs.
Absolutely.
And, if you haven't got the app, you need to get the app as soon as possible. There's a great feel to it.
And it's sexy. It's slick.
And, it really just does work as well.
I know.
No one's really been complaining about it. It's phenomenal because you always ask for feedback. You always want feedback. And the only feedback that we're getting is that it's good.
What a great way to connect with our Future CEO community.
Who are our Future CEO community? Just remind everyone who's tuning in maybe for the first time, who's listening here, what's the show all about? Who are we talking to?
High potential young executives, ambitious entrepreneurs, and we help them. We advocate entrepreneurship, we amplify entrepreneurship, and we catalyze entrepreneurship.
Yeah, all these new words you learned at
the Money Web.
Yeah, Money Web, Money Expo a couple of weeks ago.
You like?
I do like. And what else I like is who our guest is in studio today. He's not a stranger to Future CEOs. He's been here before, and that was a great conversation. And I think we're going to have a good conversation. Now, Fluby, would you like to introduce him?
Alan Knott Craig. Welcome again to Future CEOs. Clearly, we can't get enough of you.
God, it's great to be back. Thanks for having me.
Now, Alan, you've been in the news again, but this time for really another venture that you're doing. You just can't stop starting businesses.
Well, this is the first major for-profit thing I've done since it's been almost 3 years since I left Mixit. So finally, I feel like it's time to get back in the game of making some money. You know?
Okay. Which is the point of business, right?
That's a good reason, if any, yes.
We've been doing a lot of reading, trying to figure out what it is that you do. And what we want to try and do with you here in this conversation is really simplify it. Fluby, you've got a nice intro to this that you found in one of the articles.
So listen, correct me if I'm wrong, Alan. So you just had to say, and, you know, I want you to merge this with, you know, your entrepreneurial spirit and your business expertise.
Yeah.
Dashboard, as in car dashboard, innovation is inversely proportional to car quality. Do you want to unpack that? Do you want to bring it up? Do you want to explain?
I don't have no idea what that means.
Okay. Well, basically, you were just saying that you noticed that the more innovative a car is, the less kind of frills and trills I have to do on a dashboard.
Yes.
What were you thinking when you said that?
Well, I was trying to I drive a lot of rentals nowadays.
Yes.
I'll just try to get the cheapest car with aircon.
Yeah.
That is either a Datsun Go or a Chevy Spark or a Hyundai i10. And I've got to tell you, I mean, I thought the Chevy Spark was the worst car in the world until I drove the Datsun Go.
Yeah.
It's just a whole new level. But yet, to be quite honest, like, it's really innovative what the Go has done inside the car.
Yeah.
It's like cool, like radio setup, nice aircon, right. Nice, like I can see the speedometer easily. Some cool things, but at the end of the day, I can wheel skid when I change to third gear.
Oh, wow.
So that's, it doesn't matter how cool it is inside the car. It's still a pretty shitty car. And I think a lot of companies try to put lipstick on the pig, you know, and I don't want to ever be involved in a business like that where I can't honestly tell you straight to your face that you're getting the best product.
Okay, very, very good point.
I love that.
I think this brings us then into, shall we introduce what this brand is? So HeroTel, it's an interesting name. It's an interesting brand. Let's pull this all together. Just talk us through what this actually is.
Well, HeroTel is a way to solve my own problem. I want to have uncapped broadband in my house.
Mm.
Why? Because I've got kids.
Mm.
And kids want Wi-Fi. You know, nowadays, if you want to punish your kids, you take away the Wi-Fi, you force them to watch TV.
Yeah.
And,
correct.
Everybody's got this problem, right? And the problem with metered billing is you get this bill shock.
Sure.
So if you're charging R1 a meg or R2 a meg when you're out of your bundle, you know, you download one Netflix movie, you're going to 2,000 Rand.
Mm.
So I don't have a solution to that problem for myself. I can't find speedy service. I can't find a really reliable connection that's really fast and that's a decent price. But a lot of wireless internet service providers all over the country have popped up in the last 10 years. And these guys are solving the kind of that problem for a lot of people.
Mm.
If you don't want 3G and you don't want copper, you don't want ADSL, what are you going to do?
Sure.
And so we're going to – HeroTel is all about doing that. It's about consolidating this kind of fragmented market of small little wireless internet service providers, a lot like what Capitec did with the small lenders.
Sure.
And then becoming the Capitec of telecoms, you know, overnight create something that's big enough and stable enough to offer people a national alternative to ADSL.
So, I mean, you really have described the itch that you're trying to scratch. How did you – a lot of people talking about verifying the need before you go into business. I mean, you're putting a lot behind this. How did you ratify what is there? Yeah. How did you verify this thing?
Well, you know, you can't guarantee any itch until you actually start scratching it, right?
Sure.
And it was probably about a year ago that we started – we raised a bit of money from some guys who were interested in this kind of risk. And we started experimenting and playing, and finally we grew some balls and rolled the dice in January and bought a small Wisp. And we thought the whole idea is we're going to make a Wisp more money. We're going to help you as a Wisp make more profit. At the same time, we're going to offer consumers a more reliable service. So we had to figure out if we could actually make more money for a Wisp. And the first one, Snowball, we've taken it from – you know, revenues of about $3.5 million. 7 months later, its revenues are about $5.5 million, and profits gone from 400,000 to 1.7 million. So almost four times profit margins.
Wow.
So I think we've proven the model, and so now it's not so much anymore about kicking the tires of the idea and scratching. Is it an itch? It's definitely an itch. Everybody's got the itch. We've got the secret sauce, and now we're starting to scale that across the rest of the country.
HeroTel, you've got great investors. How important is that in kind of, you know, the success and the profit margins that you're speaking about now?
Well, three things that an investor can bring you. Bring you cash. It's the least important thing. The second thing they can bring you is credibility. So famous people and us.
Sure.
Famous people for the right reasons and us.
Sure.
And they can bring you advice, moral support, strategic support. I'm very, very fortunate that all my shareholders tick all three of those boxes. And you know, we're raising more money now. In fact, we're doing some new things. It doesn't have to be every investor you ever take on board, but it's very important that when you bring in shareholders that you all look at the world in the same way.
Let me ask then, how did you go about selecting these people? So it's I mean, I sit with you, Klubi, and I say to you, well, this is what I want to do, and you say yes because you perhaps see the profit opportunity, but how did you go about then, you know, really digging down and finding out whether these people were the right people?
Yeah, I think finding investors is like finding a wife.
Okay.
You know, the right wife. There's a lot of people in South Africa with a lot of money, a lot of people in the world with a lot of money that are looking for opportunity. They want to put that money to work. They don't want to just, and they want a story. They want to be part of a story. They
Absolutely.
Don't want to just like invest in the JSC.
Mm.
Now, if they don't know what you're doing, they can't find you.
Sure.
And it's the same with, you know, I always think about my wife. You know, I employed the best strategy possible to get a really, somebody above your pay grade, you know, which was you got to like noticeably ignore the girl of your dreams so that she can see you, but that you're ignoring her. That's weird. So she must start being like a bit peaked, you know, like what's going on here?
No, I know my problem. Start ignoring people.
Okay? People got to be able to see you, but you don't want to be chasing, you know.
Sure.
Anybody who's chasing is too easy to get, and you don't
sure.
want a shareholder that's easy, you know. A girl that's gonna go out, you know, marry you after your first date is not the kind of girl you want to get married to. It's the same with a shareholder. And in this particular instance, you know, I had some very close friends, people like Michael Yordan. He's a close friend of mine. He believes in me. He wants to, you could see what we were doing. He's like, dude, I want to be involved in this. I don't want to miss out. And then some other guys came on board, and they were more arm's length, but they got wind of what I was doing and they approached us.
Okay, so I mean, you then did certainly use connections that were there, the people that you trusted and certainly respected
Always.
As well. Okay. Klubi, I guess we're sitting here with someone who in many ways can be referred to as surely a serial entrepreneur.
Absolutely.
We have an audience that is a bunch of entrepreneurs who need to learn from him. What should we be asking him in behalf of them?
I think you've had a great entrepreneurial journey with lots of experiences, downs, ups. Tell us more about the downs.
Probably my only real flop has been the World of Avatar Mixed story. Basically, I got kicked out of my company. So that was not a great experience. And But I wouldn't regret any of those decisions, you know, especially buying Mixit. To this day, I still think we had an amazing opportunity
Sure, that was incredible, yeah.
To make money, to make, you know, Mixit had the opportunity to be the WeChat of Africa.
Sure.
You know? Yeah. Jump from dumb phones to smartphones. Mm. And I was only there for a year. It's been almost 3 years since then. And I just feel, you know, that window of opportunity is closed. And there's a bit of, I feel sad a little bit that I didn't have an opportunity to give it a go. But having said that, you know, I've got no regrets. The only regret I ever have is if I ever hurt somebody unnecessarily.
Sure.
Yes, finish.
You know, when you're in a position of power, whatever your power is, your small amount of power, it's easy to hurt people because you can get away with it, right? So when you're firing somebody or when you speak nastily to somebody or embarrass them in public, and then once or twice I've probably done that unnecessarily and I regret that. But those are the only regrets I have.
Okay.
I know you're an avid author as well. You gave me the book Don't Panic, Please.
Please don't panic.
Yeah, which was great.
Which turned out to be right, by the way. Looks like we don't have any more load shedding for 10 years.
Yeah, very nice.
What was I going to ask you? Books to recommend, future CEOs, communities to read.
If you want to be an entrepreneur, the best book in the world to read is something by Ben Horowitz called The Hard Thing About Hard Things.
Mm. Oh, love it. I love it already. Got it, Gareth?
The Hard Thing About Hard Things. Ben Horowitz. I got it.
I've published a new book now.
Oh, yeah, tell us.
I brought you guys a copy.
Oh, did you? Fantastic.
Yes.
Tell us about the book.
It's called So You Want to Be a Hero.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it started out as a handbook for new employees because we kept repeating ourselves around what we expect people in our system to be able to do. So we just wrote a book and summarized it. And there's some contributions from the likes of Michael Jordan, Jane Raffaele, Brant Pretorius, people Very that nice. I respect and admire.
Yeah.
And some people got wind of it. So a big venture capitalist in America bought a couple hundred copies. So we printed more and and hopefully we'll actually start publishing them in exclusive books, but you can buy them on Amazon.
You know, I resent people like Alan, you know, because he's great at business. He's,
I know.
Just seems to be successful in so many places, and there's little of us.
Well, at least we got him in our space.
Good point.
And he leaves us with his books, so I'm happy.
Let's ask a few more questions.
Okay.
So, Alan, let's just then talk about HeroTel and the formation of HeroTel again. You've spoken about how you acquired and you've ratified in a certain kind of way. What are some of the mistakes that you made early on in your career with other businesses that you were, you haven't made here as a result of that learning?
Nice.
Hey, you know, too many can't, but there's three big things that I concentrate on nowadays.
Okay.
You got to under-promise and over-deliver.
Sure.
If you're naturally good at selling, and I suspect you guys are good at selling, then it's easy to over-promise. You exaggerate. So to always, you know, if I want to give you 20 megs per second, I'm going to tell you I'm going to give you 10 megs per second.
Sure.
You know, people don't mind 10 megs per second. When you give them 20, it's like, wow.
I want to interrupt you very quickly. First, did you see what Alan said? We're exaggerators. Because he said we're good at selling. No, but here is the crux of everything. How do you then sell at a lower level? Because often people are attracted to the bigger promise.
If the goods you are selling, right, if you can't offer 50% of the value of the goods that you're selling, and that offer is not better than all alternatives in the market, you're wasting your time.
Okay.
Nice. So what point. I'm saying is, you know, I can, if the average broadband speeds in the country are at 1 meg per second, then I've got to come in the market with a 20 meg per second option, and I'm going to promise 10 meg per second. If I'm saying I'm going to offer you 2 megs per second, best case, so 50% of that is actually exactly what the market offers right now, I don't think you've got a shot, because you're not going to be able to under promise and over deliver.
Okay, there's the answer then.
Number two.
Number two is you've got to be frugal. You know, when the times are good, it's easy to spend. And I'm the king of spend. But you've got to be careful. You know, it's not to say you have to not be excellent. I've seen a lot of frugal people who are very mediocre people just accept, tolerate incompetence, mediocrity, just because they're trying to save money. I don't think that's the way to go. You've got to use your brain to think about how you can spend money cleverly to get more bang for your buck. And that means basically keeping down your overheads. Don't hire people unnecessarily. And the last thing is you've got to concentrate.
Yeah,
but fucking concentrate. That's the single most important thing any entrepreneur who's mad at has ever given me. Just that advice focus. Is focus. Pick one thing, finish that thing.
Okay.
Next thing, finish that thing. Don't be a mile wide and inch thin.
Okay, very, very nice points. Libby, what do you think about what we're hearing?
I love it. the lessons that your father taught you, obviously being in the same space, and obviously, I think, bearing the brunt of being, you know, Alan Craig Jr. How's it going? Living in the shadow, fulfilling those shoes, yeah. Learning from that?
Well, you know, my old man doesn't phone me often to say anything, full stop, but he phoned me last week and said, well done. Mm. You know? And it's not often that's all he says. Sure. So I feel like I'm delivering the goods for him at least.
Yeah.
But, well, you know, my old boy, I'm privileged to have a dad like him, and I learned a lot from him. And he's given me a big platform to build something off. And what I'm trying to do is do something with everything he's given me, as opposed to, you know, just take it for granted. But having said that, my dad's given me infinite life lessons and business lessons, but I've learned more about what not to do from my dad than I have from what to do.
Okay.
And I'd say, you know, what I don't want to do is I don't want to work for someone.
Mm.
I don't mind working for people, but I don't want to work for someone. I want to work with people. I want to have partners. I want to
shareholders
that don't tell me the way it's going to be. Yeah. I don't want to have to spend time with people I don't want to spend time with.
Sure.
I also don't want to, have a heart attack, two heart attacks and a stroke. And to get divorced, you know. Mm. So I don't want to necessarily have my life set up in such a way that I just have no choice but to work all the time.
Mm.
I do want to work hard, though, and nothing makes me more excited than work, but I want to work on my own terms.
Mm.
And I want to put my kids and my wife right in the middle of my life.
Mm.
And what else my old man taught me? He's you can't get rich unless you've got equity.
Sure.
I mean, he built a big business, right, for
sure.
Other people.
Yeah.
He never owned a share of Vodacom in his entire life, ever. Even when it listed, he left before they listed. So he's never owned a share of a business that he built. And I think of all that hard sweat, I don't think you should do it to get rich, but I think you should get a fair share of your sweat.
Sure.
And you can't expect other people to make you rich. Mm. Only you can make you rich.
You mentioned
That's
family.
Great. Yes.
You did mention family, and I'm interested to find out how you are balancing it all. So, again, I follow you on Twitter, you know, the social media elements, and you are a busy man. You have said that work excites you. How do you fit family in? How do you make that time?
Firstly, I've got great partners. You know, when you've got great partners, you can do anything because you don't have to look over your shoulder. You don't have to watch what guys are doing. I've got a great CFO. I've got a great COO. I've got a great CTO. You know, I'm blessed to have the type of people I have in my system that I can trust their competence and their integrity.
Mm.
Second thing, I've got a great wife. You can't make it in life without a good spouse. Game over. Insert coin. So she's like a rock, and she keeps me grounded, and she keeps me concentrating on what's important, but she supports me. She's got my back, you know. And lastly, I have some set rules, you know. Okay. Sunday is the day of rest. I try to never work on Sundays. Sometimes you break the rules, but I just try not to do work. I will work. I'll write. I'll do things like that, but I won't be doing work.
Sure.
And I try to get home at 6 o'clock, and the 2 hours that you can spend with the kids, have supper with them, bath the kids, all of that stuff. I try to do all of that stuff. But, you know, the long and the short of it is, if you want to make money, you have to work hard.
Mm, very nice. Very nice.
Besides from that, what does it take to be a great CEO, Alan?
Yeah, Brian Pretorius always used to tell me that the secret to leadership is being a servant. I used to say, what a lot of crap. They're like, no, Brian, you know, I don't agree with that. But I've come to realize that's the secret, right? So if you every day stop thinking about yourself, and all you're thinking about is how can I help the people in my life that
being
are important.
Being of service. Love
it. How can I help people? You know, and if I'm helping him, am I getting rich at the same time?
Mm.
So you need to set up your life in such a way that you only have people in your life that you want to help. So you don't want to have anyone that your partner, nobody must work for you that you don't really like, because then you don't want to help them. And the second thing is the model has to be such that if they're getting ahead, you're getting ahead.
Absolutely. Mm.
And
so true.
It almost sounded like it was – I liked the way he finished that statement. If they're not getting ahead, you're not getting ahead. Let's just then jump into that very, very specific thing. You obviously, if you are helping people to do their jobs, you obviously have competent people in place. How have you been able to identify those people? And let me just ask a secondary question, or maybe a little bit of context. The world of work is changing. I mean, there's changes all over the place. How have you been able to deal with that as well?
It goes back to how do you raise money.
Okay.
People can't knock on your door if they don't know where your door is. And lots of people want to be part of a movie that I'm making. That is, they need to know what movie I'm making, you know? Mm. So funny enough, now that the media is talking about HeroTel, lots of people are coming out of the woodwork saying, hey, man, that's a dream I share.
Mm.
So paint your picture. Let people follow that picture.
Okay.
Go. I really don't like doing anything outside of personal reference.
Okay.
I'd value loyalty a million times over brains. And ideally, you want loyalty and brains. Luckily, all my partners have got the full package. But you know, you gotta be who you are, and you gotta put it out there. This book, So You Want to Be a Hero, this is who I am. Some people read it and go, "What a dick," or they go, "You're so cheesy." I mean, this is like making me sick. Or they go, "I'm in. Sign me up." Now, if you're the kind of guy who likes working in a 15,000 person organization and all the shit that comes with that, well, I'm not your guy. But if you like being part of something which is bigger than you, and where mediocrity is not tolerated, but where excellence is rewarded, well, then that's me.
Aligning yourself and your company to a greater mission. What is that? Explain that.
I can't give you the consulting speak answer to that, but how we've aligned ourselves is it all started with my child. She was born, and I started thinking, oh, my goodness. I don't want her to think that I wasn't, trying to make a difference. That all I wanted to do was make money. You know, you want to be able to look your kids in the eye and say, things didn't work out as well for our country as we thought they would have. But I wasn't sitting on the sidelines. I was making a difference. And everything starts from that premise. So it's for somebody else, right? And it's for the future. And that's how Project Decisive started. That's how World of Avatar started. That's how everything starts. And because you've got that frame in your head always, good stuff comes out of that. And it also attracts the kind of people that want to do good stuff.
It's great having Alan in the studio. It's always great having
Always great having you here, my man.
But particularly good today. We are running a little bit out of time. So let's ask one or two final questions. Again, we always are on this journey. We always are gathering information. Just within the last year, maybe let's talk about Hero Tell Time. What are the maybe one or two great lessons that you've picked up? Just something that nothing else has taught you or nothing else has prepared you for.
Well, a lot of my life is spent dealing with the government, so I've got to touch on that, even though Hero Tell has got nothing to do with the government.
Okay.
And, I still blows my mind how many amazing people work in our government.
Okay. That's a great thing to hear.
It just is.
It is such a refreshing thing to freaking hear, Alan. Yes, continue.
I mean, they're underpaid for all the stuff they have to take. They're not doing it to get rich. I mean, you don't work in the government to get rich. It's not like everyone's on the take. No one's on the take. They're doing it because they were doing a public service. It's the public sector. And I'm much less judgmental nowadays. I don't look at you and you're a different color to me or a different race to me or a different sex to me or a different whatever to me. And I think I'd put you in a box. I try to keep my mind open. The second thing is that Hero Tells about consolidating small entrepreneurs. You're trying to herd a whole lot of cats in the same direction. And other people have tried to do it before. They've all failed. Why? Because they're corporates. You can't own someone. Well, you can own someone, but that someone's going to work in a corporate. They'll never start a business.
Sure.
These guys started their own businesses. From scratch, they built it. It's their baby. You can't own that person. Bankers want to own people. I don't want to own anybody. I want to be your partner. I want to treat people the way I want to be treated. And the secret to, I think, Hero is going to be the fact that we understand an entrepreneur. We get him. You want to be part of a big story. You want to be treated like you're a slave. You want to have a say in thing. And if it all turns out well, you want to be part of the action right at the end. And that's the secret sauce, really. I mean, anybody could be doing what we're doing. The way we're doing it can't be replicated by a corporate.
Very nice.
Do you have a mentor? Do you still have a mentor?
Yeah.
What was the last conversation the two of you had about you and your career and your life and your dreams and your goals?
I'll give you three lines. Right? I've got lots of mentors, but there's a guy called Dennis O'Brien. He's an Irish billionaire, telecoms billionaire. And I told him my little sob story about World of Avatar, etc. And he looked at me and he said, "Listen, buddy, man up. Business is rough and
get
tumble.
Get your shit together.
Yeah. Just man up." And I'm like, "Okay, sorry, dude. I apologize. I'll take it back." Brian Pretorius, he gave me some great advice. He just said, he looks at me when I tell him my stupid stories, or my strategies and my plans and how we do things. He's like, "Alan, I just want to warn you. Never lose your cheesiness." So he said, "The world is out there to kill your cheesiness. Don't let it go. Just because people think, for a moment in time, people think you're on the wrong path."
Yeah.
And I mean, thinking about Brent, I guess a lot of what he sometimes says can be perceived or thought of as a bit cheesy, right? I mean, he is that kind of guy, but I mean, he's is certainly a man I look up to, and we all should.
I'll tell him that you think he's cheesy.
Do it, but I'm trying to get him to an event. So just after the event.
I'll send this link to him.
Last one.
Ach, you know, I always think about Jane Raffaelli. She's really one of my favorite people in the whole world.
Me too.
There's so many things she's told me over the way, but probably the thing that sticks in my mind is smile and wave, you know. Don't let anybody get under your skin.
Very nice. Libby, what do you think about today's show?
What I'm going to take back home with me is under promise and over deliver. I love that.
Yeah, I liked the connecting point there, which is that 50% description. I mean, that was a key point, a key understanding certainly there. Ellen, it's been great to have you in studio. I mean, we do wish you all the best for Herotel. A final word, a final thought. Where can we get the book first and foremost?
You can go to my website, bigalmanac.com.
Okay.
Google it. And there's a section there under books. You can actually get the copy for free, digital free. And if you want to get a printed copy, you go to Amazon and print it. So I'd say, you know, if that kind of thing appeals to you, that's cool. And my sign-off is, you know, the country feels a bit negative. You know, people are a bit down. I do think we're going into tough times. Not a good time to be in debt. Not a good time to be building up your overheads. But it's still the best country in the whole world. And we're lucky to live here.
And we were lucky to have you. Thank you. Always the optimist. Ever the optimist.
Ever the optimist.
Ever the optimist. Okay, up next we are going to be talking to F&B. And we're talking an interesting thing, e-wallets. You know what that is, Libby?
With or without my wallet?
We'll see. We'll get into it after this. So we'll be back in just a moment. Here we go.
It's back. Are you Jawsy Tough? Cycle through tunnels, head over floating bridges, and disappear into colossal stormwater drains. Why? Because you're a machine, and the city is your trail. With two separate routes, 22 and 54 Ks, choose your path and go where no mountain biker has gone before. On 6 September, ride the Hollard Juma. Brought to you by Adridge and Joburg City Parks and Zoo. Challenge accepted. Juma.co.za.
Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com.